from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And here with my good friend Richard Massey, not Tom Moore tonight, but Richard Massey from the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and we're glad to have you here with us tonight. Also with us tonight is Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher from the Santo Church of Christ. He'll be running our boards tonight and making some good comments along the way as we go through this broadcast. We're broadcasting from KATX 97.7 FM in Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM in Hereford, and we want to welcome our local audience tonight here in Stephenville, Texas. This is the first night that we have with KWBY in 98.5 and also 107.9 here in Stephenville, Texas. You can also listen through the gospelradionetwork.org. And this program is going to be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Tuesday on this website, thegospelradionetwork.org. Our motto has always been on this program, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in program. We encourage you to pick up the phone and call if you have any questions, any comments that you would like to make. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855 Q is in questions, A is in answers, and then spell out B-I-B-L-E, and you'll get to us. And we would love to have your comments or your questions come through to us. You can also reach us on the chat room if you are listening on the gospelradionetwork.org. You can go to the chat room there and log in, and you can type your questions or your comments on the chat room. We'll try to incorporate them in the program as we go along. And for those of you who want to send us an email question, send it to questions@harrisonmoore.org. And that will go to my email, my personal email, and also to Tom's personal email, and we will get you a Bible answer for your question. Our additional sponsors, in addition to the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville and the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, we also have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and the Windmill Church of Christ at Tin Top Road in Weatherford, Texas, and the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we want to express our appreciation to all of these sponsors. Now, last week, if you were listening with us, we were talking about this horrendous landmark decision that was given to us by our Supreme Court of this United States of America, which said that now all of the states in the United States are going to have to accept and recognize same-sex marriages, whether that state likes it or not. The Supreme Court, as you will remember, we stated last week, they forgot to define marriage before they redefined marriage. And we gave several passages of Scripture that show that a homosexual marriage is not a marriage at all. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, God said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Now this was where it all began, at the beginning of time. A man and a woman. And Jesus reiterated this statement in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6. And he says, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Now, God declares that what he has joined together, man and woman, becomes one flesh. And when man and man are joined together, and woman are joined together, he declares then that it is strange flesh. And we have that over in Jude, verse 7, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire." Now, one of the reasons that we're going to continue with this line of thought is because of something else that has happened just a week after we have this rendition or this new law from the Supreme Court of the United States of America. We find that happened in June 26th of 2015, and then in July 1st, the Episcopalians voted to allow gay marriage in churches. Now, the Episcopalian is a denominational body. It is not the church, but regardless of that, what we have here is a religious organization that have jumped right in line with the Supreme Court ruling. And I want to read a little article that was written in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, came out July 1st, and it says this: "Episcopalians voted overwhelmingly Wednesday to allow religious weddings for same-sex couples, solidifying the church's embrace of gay rights that began more than a decade ago with the pioneering election of the first openly gay bishop. The vote came in Salt Lake City at the Episcopal General Convention days after the U.S. Supreme Court legalized gay marriage nationwide. It passed in the House of Deputies, the voting body of clergy and lay participants at the meeting. The House of Bishops had approved the resolution 129-26 on Tuesday with 5 abstentions." Now, get this, Richard and Frank. It says the very Reverend Brian Baker of Sacramento, California, said the church rule change was a result of nearly 4-decade conversation that had been difficult and painful for many. Baker, the chairman of the committee that crafted the changes, said that the church members have not always been kind to one another, but the dynamic has changed in recent decades. Quote, "We have learned to not only care for, but care about one another," Baker said. "That mutual care was present in the conversations we had. Some people disagreed. Some people disagreed deeply. But we prayed and we listened and we came up with compromise that we believe make room and leave no one behind." Baker said the House of Bishops prayed and debated the issue for 5 hours this week before advancing it to the House of Deputies. The vote eliminates gender-specific language from church laws on marriage so that same-sex couples could have religious weddings. Instead of husband and wife, for example, the new church law will refer to the couple. Under the new rules, clergy can decline to perform the ceremonies. The changes were approved 173-27. Now, Richard, here we have the Episcopalians coming out and saying that they are all for this gay marriage thing, and they are on board 100%, well, basically 173-27, which is a vote that is ludicrous in itself, that they would even vote on such a thing that has absolutely nothing to do with God's Word.
And think about that, David. Voting on moral issues that they at one time were opposed to. They were opposed to these things formally to that. But to vote, these are men. These are mere men, just like you and I. Now, he may put reverend on his name.
Very reverend.
But
very reverend.
That doesn't change a thing. He's a man. And the Bible hasn't changed. The Supreme Court did the same thing they did. They voted. The Supreme Court voted. These Episcopalians voted. And they're trying to override the authority of God and His Word. In January 22nd of 1973, the Supreme Court made a tremendous vote on that day to allow abortions to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Before that time, you could not take an unborn child's life. But they voted that it would be okay. This is, again, men trying to override God's supreme authority, and you cannot do that.
Well, amen to that. We get to this article here, and I want to point out one thing, and let's consider this for just a moment. This man, the very Reverend Brian Baker of Sacramento, California, said, "We prayed and we listened, and we came up with a compromise that we believe makes room to leave no one behind." The only one they left behind there, Richard, was God.
Exactly.
And they left him completely out of the equation because what they did is so religiously and scriptural wrong that it can't even be found anywhere. It cannot be found. But when he says we prayed and we listened, I get the idea that what he's trying to tell us here is that God spoke to him and here's what he told us to do, which would be a ludicrous thing for anybody to claim, especially when it comes to this point right here that we're talking about tonight.
And he's not the only guy that does that. There are other religious groups. They vote on what their moral standard is going to do, to be. The Pope has also spoken out on various issues, and they're just shoving the Bible aside. The Bible doesn't have any value at all in their estimation because they're going beyond what the Bible says.
And so what we're really talking about here tonight is the fact that these individuals, along with other religious individuals, they are rejecting the authority of God. And that's what it comes down to. That is what we're talking about here, is really authority. God has said he has given us the authority to do what is right according to him. And there are some things that we can do. There's some things that we can't do according to God. And it's all in his authority. And what they have said here is, we don't care what the authority of God says. We are going to vote on this, and it's going to make it right in our eyes.
It's happened so many times, David, where people want God to compromise to their standards instead of man adjusting their lives to fit God's standard.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened so many times, and this is another case of that men want to have their way. They want to change what God says about marriage. As you have already said, Genesis chapter 1, he made them male and female. Genesis chapter 2, he joined the male and the female together as husband and wife. Jesus backed that up in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, that was God's system. And now man comes along and says it's no longer male and female. It can be two females or two males, and this is simply not going by the authority of the Bible.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So we want to ask the question, I guess this is how we're going to start this. What does it mean to fight against God? And you and I were talking about this, and Frank, before this whole thing started, you mentioned a passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. which is a very good passage of scripture that really needs to come in at this time. Jesus said there, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad." And he wants us to take a side here. Whose side are you going to be on? It's either God's side, or it's the man's side, or it's the world's side. But you can't have it both ways. And here we see that a lot of people like to try to straddle the fence. And one of my favorite sayings is this: Satan owns the fence. You can try to straddle it all you want to, but Satan owns the fence.
Matthew 12:30, if you're not with me, you are against me. What I like about that, David, is Jesus presents only two positions. There's not a third position. Mm-hmm. You can't get on the fence. You're either on one side or the other. In other words, light of what we're discussing here, you're either for man and woman being the makeup of the home, or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And when you choose two males or two females to make up a marriage or make up a home, you're not choosing God's side. You're against him.
Well, I personally tend to think that this homosexual marriage thing is just an absolutely all-out assault on Christianity. Because once you destroy what God has put together here, the home, which is the basis for the church here, when you destroy that, you've got virtually nothing left.
And, you know, the media, everybody wants to make Christians who are standing for what the Bible says the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the bad guys. We're trying to help people to have a well-adjusted life according to the way God has designed it. We're simply trying to help people understand what the Bible says. This Mr. Brian Baker, who calls himself the very Reverend Brian Baker, he is not for God. He has made his position clear. He has chosen a different standard for the home than what the Bible has presented to us. So he's not for God. He's against God. We're simply saying that.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose another arrangement for marriage other than male and female, one male, one female, then you've chosen something that is not according to God's will. Therefore, that puts you against God's will.
Well, that's very true. And you mentioned something there about this man declaring something. And throughout the years, men have declared things. And as we go through this lesson tonight, we're going to see these men have been fighting against God. Who fights against God? It's simply a person that rejects the authority of God is the one that's going to be fighting against God.
And think of this, David. Anybody can get a council together.
Yeah.
Anybody can say, hey, we're a religious group over here. Let's get a little council together and let's vote on some things. We can vote anything into whatever comes to our minds. We can make any kind of arrangement. We can make two men a marriage, or we can make a man and a cow a marriage, or whatever we want to do, if that's how it's handled.
Mm-hmm.
But we know better than that the Bible is our one and only standard by which we can please God.
Amen. Now listen, the number to call, this is a free call. It is a toll-free call. We would love to hear your questions or your comments about what we're talking about here. The number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If you need the numbers, it's 855-722-4253. 855-722-4253, or simply 855-QA-BIBLE. We would love to hear from you. We love callers to come in. We won't be rude or throw you in a corner or anything. We just want to make known everywhere what the Bible has to say about these issues that we talk about here. And so when we look at the Bible, we're always, and Frank, you mentioned this as we started this program, everybody that has ever fought against God is lost. And there are a lot of different examples in the Bible that will show us that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really doesn't matter whether you start the Old Testament or the New Testament, but to oppose God puts you on the wrong side, and there has never been an occasion where one fought against God and won the battle.
Amen. That is very, very true. Well, we have an example here in Acts chapter 5, an example of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira at the infant stage of the church, I guess they were following Barnabas's lead there when Barnabas sold some property, gave the money to the church to distribute to these Jews who had come out of Judaism, lost everything to be a Christian. Now they had nothing, had nowhere to go back to, and the Christians were helping them out to get them back on their feet until they could get started. Well, Barnabas was highly praised for this, and here comes Ananias and Sapphira, and they sold a piece of property, and they laid the money down at the apostles' feet there and told them that they sold the property for such money. But they lied to the Holy Spirit when they did that, Acts chapter 5 verse 3, because they sold it for a certain amount, but they didn't give it all. Now, they didn't have to give it all, but the fact of the matter is they lied and said, "We did give it all. There's what you have." And both of them lost their life, and it was because of a lie. They lied to the Holy Spirit.
Acts 5 and 4 says, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." That was their problem. They had lied to God, and that's fighting against God when you lie to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. That was an exciting time to be a part of the church. It was just beginning. Miracles were being performed. They could hear apostles preaching gospel sermons, but they fought against God in lying to him. And the Bible says they lost their lives. They died when they didn't repent.
One of the things about that is in the next verse it says, "And great fear came upon." You know, when they saw what happened and fighting against God, it cost them their lives. And if people today would just look and see the cost of fighting against God and what it's going to be in the day of judgment, then we would fear taking the stand that so many people in the world are taking today.
Now, for all those listening, that's Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. The husband and wife, they lied to God. They lost. They lost their lives. And as Brother Frank said, you can't win that battle. You fight against God. You can't win. Now, that was lying. Now, we're talking about two people of the same sex making a marriage, mm-hmm. making a home. That's not what God has authorized.
And that is downright, it's homosexual fornication is what it is. You know, we need to get that out there. This is homosexual fornication. Now, there's heterosexual fornication, which is
exactly
bad too. But this is homosexual fornication that we're talking about here. And as you mentioned, Ananias and Sapphira lost their lives for lying to the Holy Spirit.
And it's not the only sin that the Bible points out. The Bible points out many sins. Thievery, drunkenness, adultery, many different kinds of sins. But, you know, you were talking about Genesis chapter 1 a moment ago, David, about God making the male and the female. And you know what he said to them in Genesis 1 and verse 28? He said for them to be fruitful and multiply. That's what a man and a woman can
mm-hmm.
do. They can be fruitful and they can multiply. That's God's will. And if we have two men that are married, they can't multiply. And we have two women together, they can't multiply. In other words, they can't fulfill God's design for the home. And so you're fighting against God when you're not following his design for the home.
At every turn. And,
right.
and what we have facing us here in this United States of America now, it's not that that this is the end of it. I think this is only the tip of the iceberg. When you have a man and a man that decide that they want to make a home and they can't have a child, and they bring an innocent child into that home and teach them the same sin that they are living, now we got a bigger problem than we had in the first place.
And really, the bottom line of why we're discussing this today, we're not trying to be mean to anybody. We're not trying to be take the fun away from anyone. But, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That disobedience to God by having a same-sex marriage will keep one out of heaven. That's why we're discussing this, so that people who are listening here can understand what God's word says, so that they can go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're concerned about their souls. We're not trying to destroy their joy and their happiness. We're trying to help them to get to heaven, to know what the Bible says.
Right, and it's a very it seems today, as you mentioned just a moment ago, that the media wants to make the Christian out to be the bad guy. All in the world we're trying to do is keep people from running off of a bridge that's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to do that in a physical sense, we would be heroes. But we do it in a spiritual sense, and we're the bad guys.
That's right.
We're the bigots. We're the mm-hmm. we're the homophobes. We're all of the bad things that you can think of to call people. Because all we're doing is looking at the authority that God has given us to live this life.
If someone was in the ocean, we threw a life preserver out there to them, and we pulled them in, like you say, we'd be heroes. However, we are doing that spiritually. We're mm-hmm. throwing the gospel out to them. We're trying to bring them into safety. And you have to leave a life of sin in order to get to the safety.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, when you try to do what Ananias and Sapphira did and try to hide something, you might get away with it with man, but you're not going to get away with God, because to try to deceive God is just fighting against him. You can't win that battle. Just absolutely can't win. Well, we've got another illustration here in the Bible. It's that of Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus, in ignorance, after he became a Christian, he was telling his Jewish friends, he says in chapter 26 and verse 9, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And he was making reference, among other things, to the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was a Christian. Stephen was out there putting out the word. He should have been the hero, but instead he was the man that got stoned to death for telling them the truth about what God's word has to say and what the authority of God had to say. He was stoned to death. Saul of Tarsus had something big to do with that. He later became the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles of the bunch, and the most written apostle of the bunch for sure. And here we have him saying that it was out of ignorance that he did it.
Fought against God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're bringing these people up. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira fought against God. The Apostle Paul at one time in his life fought against God. So are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are opposing God, opposing his will. I appreciate the case of Saul of Tarsus. He was fighting against God in a very zealous way.
Mm-hmm.
But when he learned the truth, he changed his life. And people can do that. You can be fighting against God. Once you learn the truth, you can change your life, turn it around, and become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of the Bible.
Right. Now, the number to call, again, we would love to have you call. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. This is a toll-free number. It won't cost you anything. You can call us from anywhere all over the world. We'll pick up the tab. We would like to have you call in and let us know what you think. Give us your comments, give us your questions. If you have a different take on what we're talking about here, we would like to hear what you have to say. We'll treat you just as kindly as we would if we loved you just like our own children. And by the way, we are not hating on homosexuals. We are preaching the word, and what God's word has to say, it means just exactly what it says. And when we look at this and we see the train wreck that is taking place through this homosexual lifestyle, and now our courts saying that we have homosexual marriage and it's going to be okay. Well, we've got a problem with God's word. Now, I understand we've got a caller. Caller, if you'll give us your first name and your question and your comment, please, we'd love to hear it.
This is Jacob.
Yes,
and my comment is talking about how the homosexuals believe that Jesus, since he didn't talk about how homosexuality is a sin, that's why they think that they would embrace it.
Well, are you saying that Jesus never said homosexuality was a sin?
Well, that's what the homosexuality group said. They said, well, you know, Jesus never talked about homosexuality in the Bible, and so he would, before it, he would actually, you know, open a homosexual with open arms, because he, in the Bible, never personally talked about homosexuality as a sin.
Okay, Jacob, I think what a lot of these people are giving lip service to the Bible in one way, because they say, well, if it's not in red letters, then Jesus didn't say it. But
right,
in,
true. Well,
in John,
we know in Romans, Romans 1, 26 through 27, Apostle Paul, who was with Jesus the majority of Jesus' life, we know, stated what he thought, or what was taught about homosexuality in that verse. So although Jesus may not have specifically said it, his follower, one of his apostles, sure did preach against it.
Amen, he did. And you know, in John chapter 14, 15 to 16, he gave all of his apostles the word and the comforter that was going to give them his word so that they could go out into all the world and preach these words. And so for them to say that, it's a very, very poor argument, but you've got a good point, Jacob. And we talked about this earlier here. Richard and I both talked about it. Richard is he's been right on top of this all along. Richard?
Right. And what Jacob is saying here is, I'd like to read Romans 1:1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And what he wrote in Romans chapter 1 was what he was authorized to write by Christ and by the Holy Spirit. And let me read that verse he's referring to in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. It says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And I believe what we were reading a moment ago from Genesis chapter 1, it is against nature because God has made male and female and told them to be fruitful and multiply, and that's against the nature. Verse 27 says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet, or which was fitting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's speaking against same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships. It's speaking against that. We want people to know what the Bible has to say.
Amen. Jacob, let me ask you a question, if I can. Are you a little bit concerned now that religious organizations are jumping in behind the Supreme Court with what they had to say? As far as your children are concerned, and the young people that you know are concerned?
I am 100% concerned. You know, I heard Dad preach a lesson back in 1993 about homosexuality, and of course, it wasn't as fully prevalent in society as it is, or acceptable as it is now. But knowing that these quote unquote religious organizations are allowing it, which with no standard, no basis of just anything, but they just decided it because it's accepted by society, it scares me. You know, it scares me deeply. And so I think we're just lucky right now. I think we're fortunate to live in a state where we have a governor who is protecting preachers and protecting what we have as a religious belief, and that we still have the freedom to preach and teach what we believe is right.
Well, thanks. We really thank you. Wonderful call. Anything else you'd like to throw in there?
No, sir. I love you guys, and y'all guys are a huge role models in my life, a huge inspirations, and I can't tell you how much y'all mean to us.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob, for calling. We appreciate you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
You know, he brought up a good point there, David. If the Supreme Court can make that decision, what are the other decisions they can make?
Oh,
I mean, what
goodness.
Are they going to come up with? I mean, we've got to have a standard to go by. We do in the Bible. But if these guys can just say unborn children can be killed, two people of the same sex can be married, what will they dream up next?
Well, you know, it's all again fighting against God and fighting against the authority of God, and we as a society will not win that battle, Richard. We can't, and there's got to be enough of us standing up, preaching the truth, preaching what God has authorized us to preach, and getting it out there for enough people to understand that we can't be superseded here by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. God's word is not superseded by them. God's word is going to stand true and steadfast. It doesn't make any difference what kind of law a man makes.
I'd like to read Romans 10 and 3 in regards to what the Supreme Court has voted on and what this very Reverend Brian Baker and the Episcopalians have voted concerning making two people of the same sex, allowing that to be a marriage or recognizing it to be a marriage. Romans 10 and verse 3 really addresses things, this matter. Listen to this. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to go to heaven, that's really the bottom line. What we're trying to persuade people to do is go to heaven. Let's all go to heaven together. But you can't go to heaven by making your own standards and your own forms of righteousness. You can't do it.
No, absolutely not. And what we have here is this Episcopalian deal has just jumped into what political correctness has been all about now for the last 10 or 15 years. This political correctness is a dangerous, dangerous thing. If you don't go along with the media, if you don't go along with the crowd, and what did Moses have to say about going along with the crowd? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. But people will go along with the crowd just so somebody won't say, well, you're just a bigot, or you're a homophobe, or all of these other kinds of names. You see, these people that do this contrary to the authority of God, they'll go along with you until you show them that they're wrong, and then they just start calling you names. They ugly names. That's all they got left.
And, you know, they think God is trying to take the fun out of life, and he's not. He's trying to add richness to our lives. When you have a husband and a wife, and they produce children in a home, and there's that love, you're really fulfilling your life and your purpose in life as God has designed it. And it brings so much joy and so much happiness to your life. That's God's trying to increase your joy and increase your happiness, not take anything away from you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's a marvelous point that you just made. Now the number to call, we'd like to hear your comments, your questions, 855-1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would love to hear what you think about this Episcopalian vote to allow gay marriage in churches. We are contending here tonight on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible that they are fighting against God, that they are fighting against the authority of God, and anyone who rejects God's word the way that they have, or any other way that it is rejected, is going to lose the battle, because God has put it in place and God's word will not change.
When they vote and make a decision that's not found in the Bible, you know, there's a verse that refers to people like that. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death."
Mm-hmm.
You can't change God's word. And as he mentioned right here, that they compromised. They came up with compromising to come up with this decision. You cannot compromise God's word.
No, you cannot.
It's a foolish thing to do.
It is a very foolish thing to do.
You know, Richard, you said something a moment ago about the fact that man can have their councils or meetings or whatever and vote on whatever they want to. It doesn't change what God has said. We've talked about it before, but a few years ago, the Methodists had their meeting in the city of Denver. They decided to set aside Matthew 19, and their new rule, insofar as their church is concerned, is that you can marry and divorce for any reason, remarry, and still be a member of their church. In other words, they voted on it. That was what the majority voted for. And their explanation was we were losing too many members. But even though they voted against it, it doesn't change what God said.
Well, our subject tonight is not divorce, but divorce doesn't add happiness to your life.
No.
Every child has a right to a mother and a father and to live in the same house under the same roof with their mother and their father, their real mother and their biological father. They have that right. That's the way God designed it for them to develop emotionally and spiritually and physically the way that they should.
Well, that's very true. Very, very true. Good point. Very good point. We get back to Saul of Tarsus. We were talking about him just a moment ago. And Saul of Tarsus thought that he was doing right when he was doing wrong. And it was out of ignorance on his part. But here we have an individual that was very, very religious. He did everything that he did in all good conscience. He never had a bad conscience over anything that he did. But he was religiously wrong because he didn't know the authority and the standard that God had set forth.
Sincerity didn't make him right.
No.
And that's what a lot of people are. They're very sincere, but they're wrong, just like Saul of Tarsus was wrong.
You know, Richard, you brought something up when we were talking earlier about Saul, and you moved over to Saul the king. And when God sent Saul the king to battle, he gave him specific instructions. Here is what God said. When Saul came back, he had reasoned within himself, the people didn't get to go and see the victory that God gave us. I'm bringing back the very best cattle, and I'm going to offer them as a sacrifice and let the people see. I was to kill the king, bring him back. He will be executed, and the people can see. In other words, his argument sounded good. Except that's not what God told him.
That is 1 Samuel 15, and that's an excellent point. His bringing back all these people was disobedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been pleasing people, but he sure didn't please God because he ceased to be in God's favor from that point on, and that passage points that out.
No doubt about it. And here in the New Testament, we have Saul of Tarsus. The man that ends up being Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, and we have him doing something, and he was thinking in his own mind that he was serving God to the utmost of it. Zeal, nobody had more zeal than Paul. Even when he was a Jew, he enjoyed going and getting those people out of Damascus and bringing them back bound and thrown into prison and hailing men and women out of their houses and having people stoned like Stephen. He thought he was as zealous as a zealous person could be, and yet he was zealously wrong, just as wrong as he could be.
And God let him know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we know that you can't fight against God and win. In all these cases, and many of them we're not even mentioning today, but in all the cases where people fought against God and were rebellious to his will, they all felt serious repercussions from it. They weren't blessed. They weren't given God's favor. They were always at a loss. They lost things over that.
Right, right. Now, when we look at fighting against God, we can see the foolishness, the absolute foolishness of doing this. Now, I would venture to say that this very Reverend Brian Baker, in his own mind, doesn't think he's fighting against God. He thinks that he's doing God a favor here by allowing this homosexual marriage to take place in this denominational body. But it's foolishness. And chapter 9 of the book of Romans, in verse number 3, Paul the Apostle, through inspiration, he writes, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Now, when we look at that, and I picked out the wrong verse, it's verse 19, I'm sorry. It says, "Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will?" And that's a question that these individuals would ask that are resisting God's will and really don't think that they're doing it. They somehow have convinced themselves that there's nothing there. But truly, how foolish is it of the creature that God created to fight against the Creator? You know, in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, God said, "All souls are mine." Now, that doesn't make any difference whether they're Christian, whether they're not Christian. All souls are mine. Now, how foolish is it? We have been given the soul by God, and we are stewards of this soul while we're here on this earth. And we're going to have to give it back. At the end of this, at judgment time, we're going to have to give the soul back, we're going to have to give it all back, and we're going to receive a judgment based upon the things that we've done in our body, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And how foolish is it for the steward or the caretaker of the soul to actually come to the Creator of the soul and say, "I'm not going to do what you want me to do." How foolish is that?
That is. We've been created by Him, and we cannot afford to be fighting against Him. We need to be cooperating with Him. I know we live in a world where there's a lot of doubt about whether God exists, whether the Bible is His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's an answer to all of those questions that people have about, is there really a God? Is the Bible His Word? And for those listeners out there that would like to find some answers to those questions, we'd be glad to give them those answers. But our discussion tonight is about people going against God's authority, and you just cannot do that.
And it just seems like, and we've been talking about a little bit about political correctness. We've been talking about the media and how the media has just fallen in behind this thing and just falling all over themselves, thinking that this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. We have even ESPN has fallen into this this trap by making the hero. What were you saying that was there, Frank? They were having the ESPN awards, and they were giving him the Arthur Ashe Award for courage, a man dressing up like a woman. And they're giving him an award for courage? Well, if I was Arthur Ashe or any of his family, I'd be upset over that. The Arthur Ashe Award for courage to a man that just dressed up like a woman, and now he doesn't want to be a man anymore. He wants to be a woman. And just this whole world's upside down right now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it courage. I would call it confusion. I believe the person is very confused.
Amen.
About where he fits into this whole world. I believe at one time Bruce Jenner knew that he was a man, believed that he was a man, and married a wife and had children and was conducting himself the way God would want men to conduct themselves. And he has become very confused in our world. As you have mentioned, our media is helping to confuse people. The school system, information that's produced these days over the internet, it continues to cloud people's minds about male and female, mm-hmm. about being what you are.
This is coming. Our state-sponsored schools are going to introduce this same-sex marriage thing to our children, and we as parents better be ready to instruct our children at an early age about what they're going to hear or get them out of the public school. One, because the public school is going to address this and they're going to teach it contrary to the way that God said it.
They're going to take the government's position on it. The government's position, which was voted on by the Supreme Court last week, the schools are going to take their position on it. So mom and dad, you guys out there, you need to sit your children down and you need to start teaching them at a very early age about husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and their roles and how God has made your children. You need to take a active role in teaching your children these very things. These are basic things,
right?
Fundamental.
And we don't need to be embarrassed about it either.
That's right.
I'll guarantee you the people that are going to be teaching your children are not going to be embarrassed about it. And we as parents are in grandparents. We have a lot of grandparents raising children today. And we need to make sure that our children know what the authority of God is. Not what some man has said, but what God has said. Let's go with what God has said. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what God has to say about the whole situation.
If you don't teach them the right thing, mom and dad and grandma and granddad, if you don't teach them the right thing, society's going to teach them the wrong thing.
Exactly.
And school and their peers, they're going to learn the wrong thing if you don't take an active role in teaching them the right thing. You know, I just have to read this verse right now, David. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so teach them that God made males, God made females, and we're to marry if we're a male, we're to marry a female. If we're a female, we're to marry a male, and we're to have a home as God has designed it.
Amen. Now, man's wisdom has always come to play in things like the Supreme Court decision. Here we have 9 justices. Basically, we got 5 justices, and they are telling this entire country, 5 people are telling this entire country what God did never say. Now, isn't that something?
That is something. That's too much power.
It is.
For 5 people in the United States of 300 million people, 5 people are going to dictate what marriage is over what God's word has already
supersede
said
and contradict everything that God has ever said about marriage. 5 people going to do this, and they've done it. Now they've done it. So when this is nothing new. When we look at our Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 and following, what we find here is something similar was going on in Corinth. And we have men telling the general populace here what God has said or what God ought to have said in order to make their life more pleasing. And so kind of in a mockingly kind of way, the Holy Spirit through Paul the Apostle now, he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, in a mockingly kind of way, he's saying just exactly what every good gospel preacher ought to say about the handing down of this law from the Supreme Court that everybody ought to be saying something about. Where is the wise? What was wise about that decision, Richard? Was there anything wise about that decision?
There is nothing wise about that decision. Who knows what all of the ramifications? You know, I remember a few years ago, Dr. Benjamin Spock, who was supposed to be a child expert, told all the parents, don't spank your children, you'll ruin that child. And he influenced many parents not to do that. And now look at our schools and look how there's unrest and there's rebellion in the schools because they listened to a man and they didn't listen to God. And who knows what all kinds of ramifications of a negative sort is going to result from the decision that the Supreme Court has made to destroy people's happiness, people's joy, and really and the stability of our society. The stability of our society is also at stake here.
Well, you know, Denny makes a comment here on the chat box that they suspended Cruz Broussard, a reporter who spoke out against homosexuality when Jason Collins made his statement about being a homosexual. Well, if he had said something about him being something else, nothing would have ever happened. But it's just this one thing that we're focused on in this country and just obsessed with in this country that's got to be right according to man. Everybody's going to have to accept it whether you like it or not. We're going to force it on you.
Yeah, and we lose our freedom of speech, and we can't have our own opinion, and we can't express our own opinion, so we're losing the ability to even speak our own mind.
Amen. Amen. We are. Now, we read also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. Now, what we see in our media is just exactly this. Our media would excoriate anybody that would speak out against homosexuality, and is certainly speak out against homosexual marriages. And this ought not to be so. God's spokesman ought to be the heroes, but instead, they're the scum of the earth, according to the media and everybody else that you run into. And it's not that it's a hurtful thing, but it's a sad thing to consider that they are totally rejecting God's word and fighting against God, and it's a battle that will not be won by them.
Well, I think this passage also makes a good statement. They're ignorant of God. They're ignorant of the Bible. Listeners, we want to encourage you to study your Bible.
Amen.
And a lot of people don't. I hope you're not one of them, but a lot of people do not study their Bibles. We want to encourage you to study your Bible. Know what God says. And so it's through ignorance a lot of these things are taking place, where men are saying one man and two men can make a home, or two women can make a home. They're saying that through the ignorance of God's word and God's mm-hmm. design.
Well, we got just about a minute, and I want to, we're going to have to stop here. I've really enjoyed the program tonight. We appreciate the callers that we've had and the individuals that came in on the chat box. I understand our chat box wasn't working for a little while. You've got about 20 seconds. Would you like to have a word before we sign off here, Richard?
Well, we care about our listeners, and we've been trying to teach from the Bible tonight, and that's, we're not making up our own decisions about homosexuality, whether it's right or wrong. It's decided by the Bible, and we believe the Bible. We believe it's from God. We believe it's how you get to heaven. We know it's how you get mm-hmm. to heaven. We know it's from God, and we're trying to get the word out. That's what our purpose is get the word out to everyone.
Amen. And we want to express our thanks once again, Frank Briscoe, Richard Massey, myself, David Harris, and we want to express our appreciation for you listening in. You have been listening to the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station. Because God's Word.